said, I'm gonna lead you. But you tried.
Oh, one more time. Every hand raised, giving praise now.
And how great is our God. And how great is his word.
Yes, Lord.
He's the greatest one that ever was heard.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning and worship. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. How many knows that's the truth? There's nobody greater than our God. That's why we serve him. If there was another God greater than our God, wouldn't be God no more. But I'm glad to know the one and only true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Before I forget, remember next Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but the following Thursday, Brother Sampson will be with us. We'll have church at 7. I'm planning on having Wednesday as well, so let's make a little sacrifice if that's all right. I try to be here 3 times in a week. You know, I think of Paul many times, and he said, I had to spend a night and a day out in the deep. I think a few hours at church ain't quite that bad compared to that, is it? That's all right. I understand, though. But try to make it out. I believe the Lord will bless you abundantly. And I really appreciate Brother Sampson. I believe he'll feed you just fine. So let's come expecting great things. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. It's good to have each one here. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll be going to John 14 after this. But Hebrews 1 and then John chapter 14. Let me get a drink before you start. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. John 14. John chapter 14. Starting at verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. But from henceforth know ye him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Excuse me. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Then how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Like to preach, the living God's dwelling place is his characteristics. God's characteristics. Let's bow our heads. If you have a need, you'd like to lift before the Lord as we approach the Word, I believe it'll fulfill that. We can go ahead and raise that to the Lord now as we pray together. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to approach your Word, knowing that this Word is life. That, Lord, when you came to show us who you were, you didn't have to come any other way, but you came the way you always were, which was the Word. And we appreciate that, Father. May we look beyond the veil of human flesh. May we look beyond just this church building. May we look beyond just the pages of our Bible and see that the living God dwells amongst us. And may you give us revelation, Lord, of what you're trying to show us, that we might be better Christians, more established for this day. We pray that the Word would heal the sick today, that it would raise the dead, even those that are in sin and trespasses. May it bring them out, Lord, and give them a deliverance from on high. We just come to see seeking a refreshing from you, Lord. May you change us from where we are to where we ought to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and believe it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Don't be afraid to help me preach this morning if that's all right. God dwelling places his characteristics. As I had studied for this before, I felt to go a different way at first, but then I began to study some things that Brother Branham has said about this, and I began to look at what the Bible actually says about this topic of God's characteristics, and God led me a different way to realize that God's personality is directly related to his characteristics. You can't separate the two. Just like anything else, we know what things are because of the characteristics they hold. You guys see me because you know what my hair looks like. You know how tall I am. You know what kind of clothes I usually have on. And if you come any other day but Sundays and Wednesdays and I'm at school, I usually got just nothing, just slacking clothes because I dress up so often I don't want to do it when I don't have to. But you all recognize who I am by the characteristics that you see on me. Does this make sense so far? And that's how we identify anything, isn't that right? You know what car to go to because you walk out there. There's other vehicles that's got similar characteristics, but you know enough characteristics of your vehicle to not walk into another one. Somebody might come by and says, well, this looks a lot like yours. Just like Brother Thomas, he has a very common Silverado that you see a lot of them. There's a lot of Chevy Silverados that are red, but he painted the back of his wheel gray on the top of that. So every time I know that's Brother Thomas because I know a characteristic. Is this off already?
Battery's dead.
Battery dead. I'm not going to be able to do that, Dad. Give me a new battery. That's all right. Everybody got a little patience this morning? All few of us do. Maybe the rest of you will get your revelation here soon. You'd all just pray then. Can you hear me now? Is that better? Amen? All right. I knew that was going to happen eventually here with technology. It always wants to break on you, don't it? Because it's trusting us humans and we never got it figured out. You think I'd known this battery's about to die, but I guess it don't. That's all right. But we know things by their characteristics, and I don't want to get off this point here. This is what Jesus was trying to make to the disciples at this time. Remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no eternal life outside of God, so you think they would have recognized there's something about this man we're missing because we think that him and God are two different people still. We think when he speaks to the Father, he's not talking about himself anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
When Jesus talked this way, he meant it the way he meant it. Because him as a man, as a human, was just like you and I. He had no more power than any other human. He wasn't stronger than any other human. He couldn't lift anymore. He couldn't do anything that you and I couldn't do. But there was a God that was in him. There was a God that was him. The express, the Father that dwelt within that body. That had all power. That's the one that when the devil showed up, he said, get thee behind Satan. And Satan left. It's the one that when the devil came to tempt him, he couldn't shake him.
Right.
Even though he tempted him with everything that a man would have desired, yet he could not shake this man because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all the devil, even when it all came into Judas, that couldn't do anything to this man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God was known by his characteristics. So when Jesus was saying this, it must have grieved him at his heart, didn't it? Because you think, just as we said, Brother Thomas's car, if he said, look, you know this is mine. Somebody might have thought he stole it. Look, I painted it this way. I have this right here. This is mine because of the characteristics it has.
Sure.
Just like my van, it's got rust on the backside on the one wheel. I know which one's mine because it's got certain characteristics. I have a very common van as well. I've seen them all over the place after I got one. You don't realize that people have the same cars until you buy it. Isn't that right? But that has certain characteristics that I know it's mine. It's got a white spot on the back where my wife hit the garage door backing out one day. I know which van is mine because of certain characteristics that I know that nobody else knows.
Right.
And Jesus knew this. He knew that he was packing the fullness of Godhead, of the Godhead bodily. He knew that everything he was reflecting out was God's character all the time. It was every characteristic that God ever had was bottled up in one man, and he displayed it over and over and over again. How that should encourage us that if God would desire us to be healed, we should not need any more evidence because we watched it flow out of Jesus everywhere he went. God doesn't want people to be happy. Are you kidding me? Look at Jesus Christ. Every time somebody had a need, there was just an uproar of joy around him because it was fulfilled.
Amen.
And when we approach God, see, that's why the Godhead is so important. If you think Jesus and God have two different personalities, if you think they have two different characteristics, you'll never get the picture right. And you can't approach God because you don't know who you're talking to. It's the one and same person. God that dwells the eternal was made flesh in his Son, Jesus Christ. So that way when we looked at him, as we just read in Hebrews, the word had been spoken by the prophets. That is truth. They had the word for their day, and that was God speaking out. But it was just a measure.
Right.
Moses spoke out, and we know he was the great deliverer. He had power and authority. But one day he had the full obedience to the word and he failed it.
Right.
He was supposed to smite the rock one time. And after that, he was supposed to speak, and that's the same for you and I. Look, we don't need to go crucify Jesus Christ. We don't need to go do some other work to get this for this gospel to start working. It has nothing to do with that. You speak it now.
Yes.
You say what the word has already said because the price for it was paid 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And back in that time, God had already given the word. He said, look, just speak to the rock and it'll bring out living water. Well, we know that prophet got in his flesh because he couldn't fulfill all the word because he wasn't all the word. He was just a part of it. And you go right on down the line, couldn't we? We could look at all those Old Testament things, all those prophets all the way down and see how God displayed who he was. Yet at the same time, there was something off because that man wasn't the fullness. He was part of it. But not this man. God in sundry times, as Paul said there in Hebrews, he spoke to them by the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks by his Son.
Right. Amen.
Who he already said in the book of Colossians was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Which means there was nothing of God left to imagination anymore. All of God, all he was, we could look at plainly. As John said, we've handled the word of life. We've seen him. We have known him.
Yes.
But as we figure out here, when John, in the book of John, when Jesus was trying to get them to understand, he just kept speaking the word, and for some reason they couldn't catch it. Because Jesus even told him right here. He said, you have already seen the Father and you know him.
Yeah.
What was Philip's first word after that? Lord, show us the Father and it'll suffice us.
Yeah.
You know what he just did? He called Jesus a liar.
Right.
Do you catch that? He called Jesus a liar. Because Jesus just said, you've seen the Father. And he said, Lord, show us the Father. That doesn't make any sense if he just said, you've seen him. But since Jesus Christ knew that they don't have the revelation yet, he said, look, when you see me, you've seen the Father.
Right, amen.
The works that I do. They'd always thought maybe Jesus was just great. And it began, as Jesus unfolded, you began to see how the prophets could do what they did.
Right.
They weren't any better than any other man. Moses wasn't any better than any other man. He was a proper child because he looked nice. That was the reason his parents kept him aside. Because there was something moving on them that this man must live. And it goes all the way down. Why David? What was it that God saw in David? It wasn't that he was strong. It wasn't that he was big. It wasn't that he was capable. God elected him.
Yeah.
That's the man I want. Because I see something deeper than what a man can see.
Right.
Amen.
And when it came to Jesus Christ, look, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he became the expressed image of God's person.
Amen.
It didn't say persons either. Because God, he's not more than one person. I hope you understand. He has different manifestations, absolutely. When he came to Moses, there was a burning bush laying there. When he came to Samuel, remember, he just heard the word. He couldn't even find him. He didn't see him, so he went to Eli because he thought it was him.
Right.
But he comes in all kinds of different ways. But if you'll recognize, it's always the same person speaking.
Yeah.
It's always the same God revealing himself. He's never contradicted himself in any way. That's why the Bible is the only book that won't contradict itself, because it was all written by the same author.
Amen.
Even the old devils can't agree with one another. They're too busy fighting and stewing. But it ain't that way up in glory. It's all the word all the time.
Right.
There's only one station to tune into, and it's the word. And it never misses. Amen. He was the express image of the fullness of the Godhead. Of all of God was. It was in Christ, and it was being displayed out to these disciples. It shows you, to you and I, how important it is to have the Holy Ghost. Because even these disciples, called by Jesus by himself, did he not? He went to each one of them personally and said, come follow me.
Right, amen.
And then after that, we'll get to that in a minute. He said, I'm giving you power over the enemy. I'm giving you power over unclean spirits. Go cast out devils. Go raise the sick. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Do all these things. I give you all this power. But look, when it came to the revelation of the word, they still didn't have it.
That's right.
Which means it wouldn't take no time at all. Devil would have had them all. And he did. You remember? Because he said, the Bible said he would smite the shepherd and the sheep would scatter. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The second that they got to where they had to stand on their own two feet, they realized they didn't have a foot to stand on, did they?
Right, right.
Peter had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. They had watched Lazarus come out of a grave dead 4 days. How did they turn from him so fast? Because a man will turn to his vomit every time. You must be born again. You must receive the Holy Ghost, or you'll never get the word. It'll never make sense to you. You'll never get benefits out of it.
Right.
And God showed me something as we just sang that song, I Shall Not Be Moved. I find it it's almost amusing how God talks to you sometimes. As I said, God talks in many ways. I was out blowing leaves the other day. Actually, it was yesterday, wasn't it? I was out blowing leaves yesterday. And I began to realize something. First off is, once in a while you feel like, you know what, I might as well just muscle it up and get a rake because I think I'll get done faster. And then you realize you're going to get tired, right? You're going to use up your back and all that. But anyways, what I began to realize is when I blew with this blower, certain leaves just left. Certain ones are just stubborn. They wouldn't get up. Do you know why? They were buried in the grass. They were locked into something else. It's the ones that were on top of other leaves that were easy to blow off.
Right.
Because what was it? It was somebody's experience that was trying to base their experience on somebody else's experience. Yes. And my, every wind of doctrine will blow that right off. But get a man that's rooted in Christ.
Yes.
Where he's not holding himself down. The ground around him's holding him in. You can't blow him off. Right. You can't rake him off. You can try all you want to. If anything, he'll just decompose and become one with the ground.
Amen.
Glory to God, I believe it. And I'm sitting there blowing leaves, and look, God was speaking to me.
Yes.
What do you think you do during your daily lives? How many times do you think we miss the voice of God because it's too simple for us?
Sure.
I'm glad to know I don't trust my experience off somebody else's experience. God has done something in my life. God has done something to my soul that I don't have to wait. Oh, I wonder if Brother Andrew's going to stay on the Word, because if he doesn't, you know, I'm following him and we're all going to go in the church. It don't work that way.
Right.
The blind can't lead those that have sight.
Right.
Does that make sense? If I'm blind and say, hey guys, let's go off this cliff, and you're going, hey, I ain't going off that cliff, I can see.
Amen.
That's why you shouldn't be afraid of no preacher. You shouldn't be afraid of no doctrine or anything. If you have the Word, if you have sight, if you've been born again, you cannot be deceived.
Amen.
And when these waves of doctrines come, because I'll tell you right now, this is a season of blowing doctrines. I've heard so much more this year than I've ever heard in my life. And it just amazes me how people come up with this stuff. I just don't understand it, but I really do understand it, because you can trail back where it came from.
Right.
You begin to trail back where this come from. As we look, God and Satan's characteristics, we think of them as polar opposites, but it's so close.
Yeah.
They look almost exactly the same.
Sure.
Where did Satan get the desire to want a kingdom? Because he saw God had a kingdom.
Right.
But God's, remember, his characters, it's not in the beauty that Satan wants. It's in humility. It's in it's in reverence. It's in holiness. Satan just wanted beauty and glamour and fashion and things of that sort. But you begin to watch this. Look, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where this thing started. God produced the Garden of Eden. Perfect. It was very good, God said. But out of that came twins. A tree of life and a tree of good and evil. And every time you say, how could that happen? Because God starts it, but he allows the choice to be there to see what men will do.
Yes. Amen.
That way it's not, well, he had better parents than I did, or he grew up better than I did, and they came out of the same place.
Right.
To see, which one will you choose? There's no excuses anymore, is there?
Right.
And as man was given the choice, you can either partake of the tree of life or the tree of good and evil, which we know is none other than Jesus Christ and Satan.
Amen.
That's who that was. It wasn't two trees that they were just magical for some reason. There was two beings there in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their choice. And God allowed it now to test if they really believed or not. And we should not expect any different from us. Don't expect to not be in a world that has contrary thoughts to the Word of God. It will come and bombard you every step you take closer to God, because Satan is trying to get you off the path. He's trying to get you to doubt. And if you can just take the Word and make it your absolute, it'll never lead you astray. God is no author of confusion.
Amen.
So the second your mind gets confused, back up. Satan has you off somewhere. And don't try to, you go figuring it out. You go get in God's presence yourself, and he will show it.
Amen.
That's all that Adam and Eve had to do, wasn't it? They needed to leave that old rotten serpent alone and go back to God.
Amen.
Instead, they listened to him just long enough
right.
to where he had them. He had them so bad that they didn't think they could go back to God anymore. They had lost who God was to them.
Right.
Adam had forgotten that I'm a son of God.
That's right.
The Bible calls him the Son of God, because that's where he came from. He was an offspring of the Almighty. And Satan had so corrupted him through sin, he didn't think he could even approach his own father anymore.
That's right.
And it'll happen to you and I. If you start dwelling in sin, Satan will convince you that you can't even go back to your father again.
Right.
That you're done. You're sealed off. But as we said, the Bible, those that are sealed out of the kingdom never knew they were sealed until it was too late.
Amen.
Those that were sealed out were blind. They didn't see the things that you see. They didn't hear the things you hear. They didn't have what you have. If you've been born again now, I hope you know that now. Hope you ain't doubting that, because if you are, you're going to be in trouble. Right after that, let's just go through the Bible real quick here, a few examples. After the tree of good and evil, what was the next thing that happened? Well, Adam and Eve had a few children. What did it produce? It produced a Cain and an Abel. They grew up in the same home. They had the same surroundings as anything else. How come one man turned out to be a vagabond, a murderer, and a thief in rebellion against God?
Right.
And the other one humble. The other one obedient. The other one reverent. Reverent to God. Why? Because to prove that man always has his choice. And it shows where they came from. And you can watch that old serpent seed on the way all the way down, and you can watch God's seed go all the way down. They always trail back to where they came from, because when the choice is presented, they have to be what they are.
Amen.
And we prove that right there by Cain. Cain knew exactly the will of God. And God didn't play no games with it either. He didn't make it mysterious. He came right to Cain and said, "Do as your brother has done, and I will make you his ruler."
Amen.
And he went out of there, and if that wasn't enough, what happened? Him and Abel had a conversation later. And I'm sure Abel was encouraging him. "Look, I don't care. You can rule. That's not a big deal to me. Just don't leave God. Don't. We don't want to go the wrong way. We don't. Just do what God has shown me." And as he began to try to get it off of himself, because Abel, remember, we'll read that later. By faith, Abel did that. By a revelation, Abel did that. It wasn't Abel just came up with it and God reverenced it. He caught what God wanted. So when the condemnation came to Cain, Cain couldn't get over the idea that it's Abel's fault. He couldn't realize that it was just God's will. You understand? And that'll happen to you and I over and over and over again.
Right. Sure.
As you begin to bring word, any true servant will not point you to themselves. They will not tell you to fear them or fear their word. They'll tell you to fear the word, because that's God and that's His will. And if you don't obey it, you're asking for judgment.
Amen.
Any true servant of God would do that. Now I'll get to that. Brother Branham says that here. And you keep going on down and down. We have Abraham and Lot. We watch Abraham's life, a man that was never blessed until he separated himself.
Yes.
And don't you think it's going to be any different in your life? You hanging out with your sinner buddies is not going to convert them.
No.
Your consecrated life will convert them.
Yes.
Never is compromising with the word going to come out in the end. It won't happen. What was the only reason Lot didn't die down there in Sodom? Was because Abraham was up on the mountain conferring with the Lord, begging for his life.
Amen.
What saved him when the armies came down there? Abraham did.
Right.
He went down there with only 300 men. Do you think those men were skilled and trained soldiers? Do you think they just had the ability? No. It was because of who Abraham was.
Amen.
He interceded for his brother and went down and saved him. And it was the same when Sodom was going to be destroyed. You remember God had said, "If I'm going to destroy this." And he told Abraham about it. And Abraham began to bargain with him, didn't he? If there's 50, if there's 30, if there's 20, if there's all the way down to, he got to where there's 10 souls. "Will you spare the city?" And God said, "I will not destroy the city for 10 souls." And God never even found 10. He found one man.
Yeah.
But look at the mercies and justice of God.
Yeah.
If he found one righteous man, he would not judge that whole nation for him.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
So before he could, he sent two angels down there to get him out of there. Look at the difference again between Abraham and Lot. Look at the difference between a spiritual believer and a carnal believer. Here's a spiritual believer, sees three men coming toward him, and he calls the one man Lord and ignores the other two, because he's got a revelation of who that man is.
Yeah.
He didn't think Melchizedek was just some king. He was the King of Kings.
Amen.
And Abraham knew that because he had been revealed to him. And that's why whatever that man said, he would do it, because he knew that that was going to happen. But when the two angels went down to meet with Lot, the carnal believer, what did he say? "My lords."
Yeah.
Never even had a revelation who God was. Now he's got two lords. Which one are you going to listen to? Are they going to agree all the time? You better hope so, because you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be confused, because that wasn't the revelation of it. But what? Look at God and his mercy. Because I think it's in the book of Peter, it says that righteous man was vexed daily by their own lawful ungodly deeds.
Right. Amen.
And God knew that. He knew his heart. So he went and sent angels down there to deliver him out. And look at how captive he was. If it wasn't for the angels grabbing his hands and yanking him out,
right,
he would have stayed and died. And that's what man will do every time. If it wasn't for the mercies of God, every one of us would head straight to hell as fast as we could.
Sure.
People got the picture all wrong. They think that everybody's supposed to go to heaven and God send people to hell. It's the exact opposite. Everybody should go to hell, and God is merciful to bring some to heaven.
Amen.
And not even by his own desire. He made the way. Man doesn't choose it.
Right.
Out of Abraham, what came next? Ishmael and Isaac, didn't it? Same family. They grew up in the same environment. Why did one come out different than the other one? One was the son of unbelief. One was the son of the promise.
Right.
One was the son of the word. Why was Ishmael even born? Because Abraham's lack of faith in it.
Right.
He let his wife talk him into it, and he said, "Fine, we'll do it this way." And who knows what kind of carnal things went through his mind, why he would do something like that, but he did it. And he produced an Ishmael. We know as a wild man. a renegade. Then it produced also, after that, when it came to the promise, God did it His way, and it produced an Isaac, a man so obedient to the Word that when even his life was on the line, he would not forsake the Word. Is it that way with you, that even if your life is on the line, you will not forsake the Word?
Come on, amen.
Now, it might not be natural in our day. I understand that, but it does come spiritual like all times. And you'll sell out your spiritual rights for what? A football game? To eat another meal when you know that you don't have the money for that? And you should probably give it to the offering so we can give something to a man over in the Philippines and spread the gospel. Lord, help us to be more sincere.
Amen.
How come it's so easy to pull out a 20 and go buy some McDonald's when you can't pull out a 20 and put an offering plate?
Right.
Because Satan has our minds twisted.
Yes. Right.
Doesn't he? And I'm just as guilty as anyone else when I think of that. It just seems so hard for some reason to put that extra money in there. I think, "Bah, I just blew it on this. I just blew that on that. Why didn't I just save it and give it to something that'll actually benefit?"
Amen.
Do I need another shirt? I think I'm okay. Do I need another pair of pants? I think I'm okay. I understand if you have to get stuff. We have to live. I'm not saying, I'm talking about, you know your heart. You know your extra money that you have. What do you do with it? You know your extra time that you have. What do you do with it?
Right.
And who gave that to you? God did. Do we give it back to Him?
Right. Amen.
A little bit different direction, but I hope that's all right. Kept coming down. You get down after Isaac. Who was next? Jacob and Esau. Again, two sons born in the same family. These were actually twins.
Sure.
Fighting in the womb before they even got out. Why? Because one... Well, still, you can't be anything but what you are.
Right.
And Esau, though he was a religious man, as Cain was a religious man, Lot was a religious man. They reverenced God to a certain degree, but when it came to obeying the Word, they couldn't do it. Esau had the same thing. Remember, he was a better boy. Isaac liked him more because he did what daddy told him to do.
That's right.
Here's his other renegade son being a little sissy mama's boy. Gets pampered by his mama, and every time Isaac probably wanted to give him a spanking, Rebecca would get him out of it and everything else. And yet, there was something deeper than that that God saw.
Right.
When it came to the birthright, when it came to the spiritual placing of his of him being a son, Esau didn't care. When it came to the promise, remember, out of Abraham, there'll be a nation born. Esau couldn't care less about that.
Yeah.
But there was something in Jacob that says, I have to have it. I can't go on without the birthright. I can't go on without this blessing. I must be a part of this, because he always was. And the characteristics of God began to flow out of him. Even when he was at his lowest state and cheating and stealing and doing all kinds of wrong, God honored him. Because when it came down to the road, remember when he thought Esau was going to kill him, what happened? God met him one-on-one.
Amen.
And it wasn't there to come pat him on the back, was it? It was coming there for a wrestling match. Who's going to win, Jacob? You going to be able to beat me? And he fought all night to get a blessing, didn't he?
Amen.
How many of us lately, let's just bring it home. How many of us lately fought it all night to make sure we got a blessing?
What?
Knowing that we were scared, and we should know as Christians, we shouldn't be scared. If we're scared, something's wrong.
Right.
Something's wrong somewhere because we've left faith somewhere.
Right. Amen.
And Jacob knew that. He knew, I'm an heir of this promise. Why am I afraid to die? God said He'd bring a nation out of me. I should not be afraid to die. So as he began to seek God, he was willing to sleep on a pillow that was a rock.
Yeah.
Look, church, this is 2013. I think sometimes we got too many conveniences. Look, what do you think is going to happen in Judgment Day if we ain't really born again, coming up to that throne and making up all these excuses? He can point back to Jacob and say, look, he was willing to sleep on a rock to meet with me. What about you?
Right.
I came to you every service. I came to you at your house all the time. And you never gave me time. There'll be no excuse at this. And we've been given the greatest word that ever struck the earth, to where we can read the Bible and there's no questions anymore.
Right. Amen.
What did Jacob have to base his faith off? One promise from Abraham, who his granddaddy was. He had that one promise and he held on to it, and it produced.
Amen.
Sure did.
Glory.
And he didn't have to stay Jacob, did he?
Nope.
God came and said, I'm going to call you Israel, a prince with God, a ruler with God.
Amen.
And so on. I'm not going to go through too many more if that's all right, but you get to Balaam and Moses. You got two prophets of God that they bring their offerings to the Lord and God speaks to them. Balaam's motive was always to try to destroy the promise of God. Moses just did what God said. And it was just as fundamental. They stuck with the written word as close as they could. But when you broke it down and you began to realize the characteristics behind what was happening, there's no way you'd believe Balaam.
Right.
Right. Amen.
Balaam wants money. When does God get greedy? Why does he need to get greedy? He owns everything. He doesn't have to have greed. Balaam wanted to curse God's people.
Yep.
That's contradicting the word. How could he be a real prophet of God and contradict the word? Well, God has blessed, he cannot curse.
Amen.
And when it came down later on, he said, well, fine, I'll backdoor the problem. We'll just get them to sin with us, and then God will have to judge them. If you trail down Balaam's motives, you see where it came from. It came all the way back from Cain, who came from the tree of good and evil, came from the devil himself.
Amen.
Because it's the serpent seed. You can't ever get away from the serpent seed. It's the truth nonetheless. You can trail all this all the way back. It's just a lineage, isn't it?
Wow.
Of the serpent seed and all its wickedness and God's promise and all its greatness. Let me just give you one more and then I'll move ahead here. When the word came to its head, it became a man named Jesus Christ, who we just read there. And you could tell who God was by his characteristics. But there was a man that was right there next to him called Judas. And I'm tired of watching these kids' movies and things, and even adult movies, where they don't know what Jesus looked like at all. They got it all messed up. And don't you never trust Hollywood to get this right. They won't get it right, because it takes a revelation of the word to get it right. And this is why you and I, you can't just say, well, let's just go read the Bible. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'll never get what this really says. There's plenty of atheists who have this memorized way better than I do, but they don't know a thing about it. Because they've never met the author. And that's what Judas' problem was the whole time. He didn't believe that that was the word standing there. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was God. He was just in it for the money, and he saw the benefit of it. A religious man, a man who had a successful ministry for many years, a man who was able to cast out devils, a man who was able to get people healed, a man who was able to look like a disciple.
That's right.
To where when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, Peter began to look at himself and think, must be me then. And he said, well, even if somebody said, do you think it's Judas? Oh, no way, guys. He is such a better preacher than I am, and he doesn't have to pray as hard as me. And No, if it's anybody, it's got to be me. That's what Judas looked like.
Right.
And it shows you what the devil looks like.
Right.
The devil ain't walking around with a pitchfork and horns on his head, and every time he does something, he's just so obvious about it. He comes as an angel of light, and it's always by the means of reasoning.
Amen.
It's always by something that sounds like the word, almost produces the word, but there's always a bit of error.
Right.
Always. Satan can't stay with the word. That's the one thing he can't do. He can't stay with the word.
Amen.
So since he can't stay with the word, he can't be a creator. He can't really be a healer. He can't do anything that God does. It proves his characteristics of what he really is.
Amen.
He's a bluff.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
In order to be Christians, we can't play around with this. We must have all of God's characteristics biting in our lives, or we have none of it. Because as we just went through those examples, all it took was a little deviation from the word, and it showed that they were serpent seed and not God's seed.
Right.
Because what is it in time? Because remember, time is such a short space compared to eternity.
Right.
In time, it doesn't look that far off. But see, the only way you're going to eternal life is it's got to stay straight for all eternity. It can't bend at all. So that little bit of error, if you let it run long enough, what happens?
Right.
You head way out that way. And that's exactly the way it is in time. It looks right. Just like even right here, you look at this earth. We think this is flat across, but we all know that the earth is round.
Right.
This is not really a straight line. It's slightly curved, but it's so small you and I can't see it.
Right.
But God can.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the word. We can't go with our own intellect. We can't go with our own feelings. They will go wrong every time. You must stay with what God has said.
Amen.
And what the Spirit anoints and gives you as inspiration that doesn't contradict His word.
Amen.
Because the word is always there. It's always accessible. But why is it so hard for people to get it off the page? If they're trying to do it in their own merit. They're trying to do it in their own strength. They're trying to do it as if they've earned something from God, and you'll get nothing.
Right.
You must be inspired by the word. It must be something on the inside responding to something in that. It comes together and produces the product.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll never get it. So let's go through God's characteristics, if that's all right. Excuse me. God is identified by his characteristics, 64. I hope it's all right for me to read this. Again, God's characteristics is not natural. God's characteristics is supernatural because he is a creator. He is a supernatural, and when God's characteristics begin to display itself, it's so unusual to the modern thinking that it throws them off the line. They cannot understand it, yet he never gets away from his promise. God in all ages, as I've said, he lauded the word for every age. Let's just take, for instance, one. There was Joseph, the husband of Mary. And now he was engaged to this young lady, and they were to be married. But then before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we all believe that if we're Christians.
Sure.
We must believe that in order to be a Christian. That's the Bible. You've got to believe every word in the Bible to be a Christian. You have to believe every word in the Bible to be a Christian. Now, because if the Holy Spirit is in here, it'll punctuate every word and every promise with an amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
I'll leave you alone that time, but don't ever forget that Cain came from the land of Nod, not from the land of amen.
Amen.
Right.
And I appreciate you agreeing with the word, but look, go ahead and say it. Because you know the Holy Spirit's punctuating it in your heart. If you receive the Holy Ghost and it hears the word, it's always punctuating it. But if you want the results, you got to speak the word.
Amen.
He's saying, it's just amen. It's just raising my hands. Lord, no, God in heaven is the praises of his people.
Right.
And sometimes I think that's all God wants out of you. Is it, you're hitting rock bottom. You're going through this. You're going through that. But look, the devil's just giving you all kinds of reasonings. And God watches you go, hallelujah, anyhow.
Amen.
To where everybody looks at your life and thinks you're okay, but you're really not on the inside. It doesn't matter. Give God praise and watch what'll happen. Your body will follow that confession.
Amen.
And you won't have to fake being happy no more.
Amen.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost is packing it right now. Have you received it? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You have an inexhaustible fountain of life within you.
Amen.
How much are we accessing? It shows how sincere you are. How much are you pulling from the reservoirs of heaven?
God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
We should be the happiest people on the earth.
Amen.
That doesn't mean the easiest lives. It means the happiest because we got something the world's looking for all over the place. And we got it free.
Amen.
Because God's characteristics is grace. It's mercy. It's pardon. And it's giving.
Yeah.
When we know who our God is and that he will just give and give and give as we have need of, we should not be afraid of what comes our way.
Amen.
Should not be surprised when hard times come and it doesn't seem like there's a way out because he's the only way out.
Amen.
And he wants you and I to put all our confidence off of us, off of our abilities, off of our lives, off of our achievements. It means nothing. It's down here on the space of time. And what good is that eternally? There was one man who made an accomplishment down here that lasted for all eternity, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He paid the redemption. He didn't put it in you and I's hands because we would have made a mess of it to where we weren't even saved. You do that once in a while. I know you do when you get doing something wrong or some kind of thing. Before you know it, you've got yourself lost in serving sin.
Sure.
What happened? You forgot God's characteristics. You forgot where you came from in the first place because you remember the mercy you had when he saved you. You realize there's still mercy here to keep you.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, Lord.
God is only known by the word of the day. It's never anything else. We could have this sign, we could have these healings, we could have these miracles, but if it isn't the word of God for this day manifesting itself, you don't really have God. His presence can be here, his anointing can be here. There's plenty of preachers who have the anointing that follow them. So did Balaam.
That's right.
Amen.
So did Judas.
Sure.
That's not identification. It's the ability to stay with God's characteristics.
Yeah.
To stay with God's word. To stay with God of what he really is.
Amen.
Who he is. And if that life is in you, it should automatically be portraying itself out.
Amen.
If you feel like you're being a faker, chances are your experience isn't quite right yet. There's something wrong somewhere. The center part of you should be like the one that you're faking to be. The real Christian on the inside should be who you really are.
Amen.
I'm just going to be honest with you. I'll just be transparent. There's times I yell at my wife, and I knew before I did I shouldn't have said a thing. I should have let it go and just moved on. But that's the real me now. I've identified that's me. That's who I really am. Is, you know what? It's all right. But the old flesh will rise up. The old serpent that I'm fighting with, he'll rise up and say, you know, you need to fight that. You need to stand. She's wrong. You're right. It don't matter. As you get in the flesh and you know what? I might be able to reason it and end up winning an argument. And guess what? In a relationship, you don't win arguments. Because
right.
If you win, you both lost.
Right.
Isn't that truth?
Amen.
But what do I do? Happened this morning, if that's all right. Go back here and say, come here. And then shook her. So she'll shake all that off. I said, give me a hug. It's all right. Because it's just the old rotten devil. Because identify his characteristics. What was Satan trying to do with those? He tries to separate you.
Right.
Because if you can separate, not just your families, but your church brothers and sisters, you'll let something come to try to separate you from one another, because then you're vulnerable. Because what did the Bible say? How does the world know that you and I are Christians?
Come on, say it.
What does the Bible say? When you have love one for another, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not because of the working of miracles, not because of this, that, or the other thing, or what you think it means to be spiritual. If you can't love your brother, you might as well quit until you can.
Amen.
You might as well hit your knees and stay there until you can look at a brother that might have cheated you, might have stole from you, might have talked all kinds of bad about you, but you love them. And you don't want to see them in hell. You don't want to see them judged for even their actions. You want them to accept the grace of God.
Amen.
And until you get to that point, you're being a hypocrite. You're not being a real Christian. You must believe all the Word. And the Word says the only way we can really be disciples to this world is that we have love one for another.
Right.
And that's just one of them. Let me go on some other characteristics. God's characteristic is to heal. And it wasn't just for Himself. He said in Matthew 10:8, He says, I give you power. Go heal. Go heal. That was even before the atonement was made. He said, go heal. Because God is a healer and His characteristics flowed out that way. He has power. Remember, He said the same in the same commission, but in different scripture. He said, I give you power over serpents. You can tread on them. You can beat any devil that there is out there. I give you the power and authority to do it.
Amen.
And it proves another characteristics of God, as we just went through love. Love is another characteristics of God. Having a sound mind in this day is a characteristic of God.
Amen.
How do people think, and I've seen this, and I'm sure you have too, that, you know, if they found one little cell of life on Mars, they'd say, that's life. But for some reason, if you take that and put it into a woman, it's not life anymore, and you can kill it all you want.
Sure.
It's not a sound mind, is it? It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Nope.
And we can go on and on and on about the government, but I ain't too worried about that. I think you got it. It's rotten. Anybody not figured that out yet? Anybody still trusting the government to get you out of this thing? I hope not, because you're going to be sadly disappointed. They don't love you and I. They want us dead.
Right.
We're the renegades. We're the ones stopping this thing from going the way they want it to go. Because until we're gone, they can't do it.
Right.
Right.
It'll never go to what it's supposed to be until the bride's done gone.
Amen.
Aren't you happy to be a Christian?
I am.
Amen.
And what was the power? See, as I began to study, let me just share that with you. I began to look at the character of God and the things that comes out of our lives and saying that that's what we need to see. No, no, no. You need to back it all the way up. Why can you do this in the first place? Because of where you came from.
Yes.
If you can't find yourself as an elect of God, all the signs, all the evidences, all the wonders, it means nothing to you.
Right.
Because you think you're just putting it on. You think it's just happening around you. And if you'll listen to Satan long enough, he'll say it's just happening because it's just around you.
Right.
It's not you.
Uh-huh.
He'll separate you from the promise of God, and that's all Satan needs. And he's got you whipped.
Sure.
He'll let you get blessed. He'll even let you get physically healed. Because as long as he's got you spiritually bound, he don't worry about it too much.
Right, amen.
As we read the last few services here, that he knows a bluff when he sees one, because he's the author of bluffs.
Right.
He's the one that wrote the book on it. He's the one that knows every way to do it. So you and I might as well not bluff him. We need to know the word of the elect of God before we ever try to go against him.
Yeah.
Go through all those examples we just went through. What did they all come back to? The promise of who they really were.
That's right.
Abel knew by revelation, I'm not a son of the serpent, I'm a son of Adam.
Amen.
Who's the son of God?
Amen.
Right.
Abraham, God came to him and says, I will make you a man of many nations. He knew, I have nothing. I had nothing to do with that. God never looked at my merit. He washed me chicken out twice back there, and he still gave me the promise anyways.
Amen.
I'm not trusting what I am, I'm trusting what he made me.
Sure.
Jesus had to do the same thing, because God could not be unjust. God could not require something out of his own children that he wouldn't do himself. So when he came on earth, he had to believe the word for himself.
Amen.
He could be tempted. He could be tried. He could have doubted by choice, but he couldn't, because he was the word.
Amen.
They couldn't choose that, because the word has to choose the word every time. If you realize that you and I have been given the word restored back to where sons and daughters of God can tie themselves all the way back to God.
Amen.
That's what makes these things flow out of you. And make sure you know it's God's characteristic. It's not you and I as humans. It's not as mortals. We are immortal.
Amen.
We are the sons and daughters of God. And love, power, a sound mind. These are things just given to me that should always be flowing out. And anytime it's not, it's Satan.
Amen.
It's always saying, because it contradicts with God's characteristics in my life. I'm not talking about identifying God out there, identifying God in the church, identifying God in you.
Amen.
If he's not in you, it does you no good to see God other places. Because you're judged.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that what happens when you get your eyes that God dwells in another brother and not in you?
Right.
You think, my, that guy can't do wrong. There ain't no way I'm going. That's not the identification we want. We want God's in here.
Yes.
I might not be able to do everything Brother Bram did. I might not be able to do everything what some other brother does, but it doesn't matter. If I'm doing what God told me to do, that's all God requires out of me.
Right.
Gifts and callings are without repentance, aren't they? We can't make ourselves something we're not.
Right.
But the supernatural dwells in every single believer.
Amen.
The power of God dwells in every believer. And Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. There's no getting away from that. So when a believer finally realizes that they're identified, do you understand that you are completely unstoppable? Satan can't do anything against that. If you really know who you are, Satan is defeated on every ground. Let me read what Brother Bram talks about that, if that's all right. Yeah, I'll get back to that. God is identified by his characteristics, 64. Is this all right? You got a little bit more time yet?
Go ahead.
All right. He said, He said, before Abraham was, I am, see? See, they didn't understand it. He was shaking them parasites off of him. Can you preach that in a message church anymore? If you don't believe, you know what? There's a door. We ain't got time to waste around with that. When I try to witness to people and you realize that they're just going to fight you and start, you know what? That's fine. I'll go find somebody that really does want to listen. Because I'm not packing my own message. I'm packing God's message to this earth. And it'll find the predestinated. And you'll find Jesus didn't waste his time either. He would talk with those Pharisees, but he just kept it short. He let them know, you're the father of the devil. There ain't no point in me talking to you. Let me go find somebody that needs healing.
Amen.
Somebody that'll believe the word, because he was seeking those that could be saved. You're saying, why didn't Jesus go to all the world and just preach everywhere? Why didn't he just go to little Israel and only talk to a few? That was the only ones that could hear him. They're the only ones that could believe it. There was nobody else out there. He knew. He was shaking the pair. This is talking about when he comes to the end of his ministry. Now listen closely. Today we have to beg and plead and pat and beg and persuade and promise Christians to come to church. If they come to church, we'll do so and so. Jesus, when he was on earth, he had too many with him. Whew. Don't worry about numbers now. Jesus said he had too many with him.
That's right.
He looked around and seen the congregation. He wanted to get rid of them because he knew what they were. He knew that they were Presbyterians. He knew that they were just wanted bread and fish and everything else. They didn't care about anything that God had for them. They were just trying to get some benefits from him. He said, except, and this is the reason he says this, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, which was nothing but the truth. Could you imagine a doctor sitting out there? Why? Said, this man wants us to be a human vampire, drink his blood? Nonsense. All you people walk away and leave that crazy man alone. They walked away. He never explained it.
That's right.
If you want God to explain every little promise to you and every, I'm sorry, he don't work that way. He don't owe us anything, does he?
Nope.
We owe him everything.
Right.
Remember when Brother Branham, he prayed for that one woman and she got well and it wasn't but a few days later and she died.
That's right.
And Brother Branham said, he went to God and said, you owe me an explanation, God. Well, the first thing he realized is God didn't owe him no explanation. God's fine the way he's got it figured out. I don't need to know everything. But God let him know what happened. He said, when she was little, she was skipping on some rocks and she would have died. But I spared her till now because she got the Holy Ghost. Now she can leave.
That's right.
See how that changes the whole picture? It wasn't God just healed and was like, you know what, I'm done. You're dead. No, it was God's mercy that even waited that long.
Amen.
So she could receive it. And God has done the same for you and I. How many times should we have died?
Yeah. Sure.
How many mistakes have we made that we shouldn't be sitting right here? But God waited until you and I could receive the word.
Yes.
Amen. Aren't you happy to be that?
Amen.
Aren't you happy to identify that you didn't save yourself? He saved you.
That's right.
That God's characteristic begins to move through you. And as he shook off others, look, and the Bible says this now. He was going to have a banquet. He invited everyone.
Yes.
People didn't come.
That's right.
He didn't worry about it. He didn't go try and say, well, I'll just try to buddy-buddy with him maybe eventually. He said, fine. Find me somebody on the highways.
That's right.
Aren't you glad you're sitting on the highway that day?
Amen. Amen.
Aren't you glad you're sitting on the side of the road? With some stupid mistake, probably drunk off. It didn't matter, did it? God found you.
Yes.
Amen.
And pull back. Why did he find you?
Because
he always had you.
Amen.
You were right there in his hands. So we think it's coincidence, don't we? We think, my, this is just, it just happened to be this way. No, God had it in his plan the whole time.
That's right.
You know, and I could just go through everybody's name here, you know, Brother Rodney, you know, just all the way down. Brother Jason, James, I'm just picking people. I'm going to get them at this time.
Yeah.
He knew what it was going to be. He's a great story writer. And any great story writer doesn't give the whole story in the first 5 minutes, do they? They kind of let it go a little bit.
Yeah.
And God's allowed Satan to look like he's going to win.
Sure.
He's allowed him to. Because he wants to prove that no matter what Satan does, he can't defeat his purpose.
Right.
And he'll put you and I to the test to prove it. But that's how much confidence he has in us. Can you see it that way for a little bit? That's how much confidence God has for you. That even when he doesn't explain the word, you believe it anyhow.
Sure.
Right.
Isn't that what happened? In the situation here, but let me finish reading now if that's all right. He never explained it. He didn't have to. He shakes your faith sometimes to see that you'll do. And he's doing the same thing in this day. Yes, let it seem spooky to you a little bit to see where you stand, whether you really believe. Remember, them disciples, foreordained by God, never moved.
That's right.
They were just as confused as anybody else. I would have been the same. Imagine a man sitting there standing. You've been following this guy for years now. You've given everything up for him, and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you.
Right.
You okay, Jesus? Guys, I think he needs a nap or something. Something's going on. But look, when it came, and I probably should just read this, shouldn't I? Let me finish it. Remember, them disciples foreordained by God never moved. They couldn't explain it either, but they didn't want to move. Then he comes again. He said, all the congregation walked away, thousands. He said to the 70 sitting there, his ministers he had ordained to go out and preach before him. He said, I'll give them a shake and see where they're at. So he said, well, what will you say when you see the Son of Man ascending up into heaven from whence he come? The Son of Man ascending into heaven? We fish with him. We lay on the river banks with him. We eat with him. We've seen the manger he was born in. We know his mother, his brothers. And this Son of Man ascending up from where he come? He comes from Nazareth. This is a hard saying. They walked away too. They said, we can't see this. You see, what happened? Never moved them disciples though. They couldn't explain it. All of them walked away. He never explained it. He didn't have to. Today we got hotbed plants called Christians. Somebody you got to spray and baby and humor, and we'll give you a fellowship card. Will you cooperate? Will you do this? Oh, you bunch of hotbed plants. We need some genuine Christianity born of the Spirit of God, and that'll take no cooperation, no nothing else. They don't want nothing. Jesus turned and looked at them disciples, said, will you go too? Do you want to go also? He said, I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. Why don't you go also? And Peter said those memorial words, Lord, where could we go? We are persuaded. We know that you are the identified fountain of life. You have the word and it only. We are persuaded.
Yes. Amen.
And it's not time trying to go around and persuade people. If the word doesn't do it, nothing will.
Amen.
It isn't because you're not doing this for them, you're not doing that for them. If you preach the word to them and they don't accept it, that is off you.
Amen.
It's not your responsibility anymore because God is the Word, and that is God trying to get themselves over to them. Now, if you're afraid to say the Word to people in this world, you're not being a Christian. You're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
But what did God tell Ezekiel? He said, I've made you a watchman.
Amen.
And if you see a sinner out there, you tell him of his wicked ways. And if he repents, I'll save him. If he doesn't, he'll be destroyed. But his blood will be off your hands.
Amen.
Because you told him.
Amen.
And he said, and if a righteous man goes and starts to sin and go astray, if you warn him and he comes back, I'll save his soul, but I'll save yours as well. But if he goes and you didn't warn him, I hold his blood on your hands.
That's right.
You see the responsibility that the word given to us in this day. It's not time to be afraid to use it. It's not time to be afraid of just being who you are. You're not being fake when you... when you preach the word in faith, when you're inspired to say the word, you say it. I don't care if it hurts. I don't care if it cuts. It's the word nonetheless. And if it draws them away, that's not your problem.
Right. Amen.
When I preach the word, I'm not worried about who stays and who doesn't. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not trying to pull people in. I'm not trying to push people out. It's the word. Are you the word or not?
Amen.
And if you're not the word, you might as well just quit trying to listen to it because you'll never become it. But if you are the word, you're hearing from your theophany. You're hearing from where you came from, which shows that we are going in our rapture.
Amen.
Not just we, I am.
Amen.
I've already heard from the other realm. I believe the word with all my heart, and I see how God came down in his mercy through his characteristics, through who he is, and found my soul. Because I was foreordained, predestinated of God to be sent, staying right here filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching the word right now.
Right.
I believe that with all my heart. It doesn't matter what isms comes. It doesn't matter how much of the word I can't explain. I'm sold out. I'm persuaded this is the word of life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm gonna just paraphrase. I got another quote here. I'm going to paraphrase it. Look, don't worry about the false anymore, because the false can never produce what the true does.
Amen.
And I got it in the Church Age book. I turned right to it. So I was thinking on something and I came right to this. But we all know a false prophet is not identified necessarily by his supernatural lack thereof, by his charity and his like. It's nothing to do with any of that. Does he stay with the word?
Amen.
Not just textbook now. I'm talking the whole package as we just got done earlier. Power, love, joy, a sound mind, prophecy, foretelling the past, the things that dwell, that God is. He must be packing all of that. When you see them diverge off of it, it proves they're a false prophet.
Amen.
But rest assured, no false prophet has ever manifested what a true prophet can.
Right.
Yeah. When it came down to the showdown, Moses outshined all of Pharaoh's Egyptians.
Yeah.
All those that could do these little miracles here and there and all, it didn't matter. It came to a point where they couldn't do what Moses did.
Amen.
Remember Bennett, or I can't remember when they had Ahab, and they were going to go up to Ramoth Gilead and had those false prophets. They had 400 of them having a big hoopla, a big anointed time, I'm sure. I'm sure you felt the presence of the Lord all over that place. And he grabbed, Hananiah grabbed those horns and said, "We're going to push the Syrians out." And there's little Micaiah out there, renegade preacher,
uh-huh.
Renegade prophet out there, knowing the word of the Lord, saying they're dead. They don't have a chance in the world.
Right.
Because he took his vision back to the word. They just went off their emotions.
Right.
And when it came down to it, even a spiritual man can tell there's something wrong somewhere. Even Jehoshaphat, even in his backslidden state, when he was sitting there with Ahab, remember they were watching him, there's still something in him that says, something wrong. It sounds good, it looks good, there's something wrong somewhere. And weren't we the same way? Came into churches, we're like, my, feel the power of God here. I watched them get healed. I watched this person get saved, so-called, but there's just something wrong. You don't know what it is. So what did Jehoshaphat do? The best thing he could have done. Ahab, do you have one more prophet? Just one? And then you begin to see right away characteristics of that old devil in Ahab.
Okay.
Said, yeah, I know one more. Micaiah, the son of Imlah, he's out there. But he's always prophesying bad about against me.
Right.
Then Jehoshaphat goes, I'm sure in the inside he said, yep, this is it. This is what it was. But he said, don't say that. You know, it's okay. Just call him here. Call him here. And of course, they sent the messenger out to Micaiah. What was the first thing to tell him? Can't you just compromise on the word a little bit?
That's right.
Can't you just not worry about, you know, modesty and things? And can't you just not worry about the servant seat and baptize him in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost being the same and the Son of Man being revealed? Can't you just leave that alone and just agree with everybody? Can't we just love one another? Yeah, we love one another in the word.
Amen.
Love doesn't exist outside the word.
That's right.
Don't let the devil talk to you into that either. If you got to compromise the word, the fellowship, you're off.
Right.
And Micaiah knew that. He said, look, whatever the Lord God tells me to say, I'll say it.
Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. You weren't afraid to go, though. Don't you be afraid either. They'll call you up. Remember what did Jesus say? They'll call you up before kings and all these things. He said, don't even worry about it. Your Heavenly Father will give you what to say in that time.
Amen.
And he walked up there, and what's the first thing he said? He said, go and prosper. Of course, that caught Ahab a little off, didn't it? Feeling pretty good about it. He says, didn't I tell you he was just a wonderful prophet? Once it benefited him, isn't that right? And then they talk up Brother Brandon when they were getting benefits from him, when they saw all the people that were coming and all the offerings they got from him coming. Oh, they loved him showing up then. The second he began to say what the truth of the word happened, they didn't want him around no more. When he wouldn't leave them poor women alone because they wanted to sin and do all these things that are evil, he wouldn't compromise on it. It shows you his characteristics versus theirs, doesn't it?
Right.
He didn't worry about it. You listen to some of those tastes, we think, my, he must have been in a cathedral, and he's at a house of 12 people.
Right.
A man with his kind of a ministry, known worldwide, and he'd still show up to a meeting just like this.
Yeah.
Shows you what kind of characteristics he had. He came from God, humility.
Yeah.
And yet you'll watch preachers like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, my goodness, if you don't have a football stadium full, he ain't showing up. It's just the truth. I don't fault the man. I think he's a good man. I think they're trying to serve God. They're just delusional when it comes to the real word. It comes to the revelation of the word. I'm sure those 400 prophets there with Ahab were trying to be sincere.
Right. Amen.
But they wouldn't stick with the word. They just went with what they were taught, their little emotions that they had. They thought that has to be God. And it very well could have been his presence, but it's not his word.
Amen.
But after that, Micaiah says, look, I saw all Israel scattered like sheep up there. And that's when you see again, Ahab go ahead and change his mind again about him, didn't he? Didn't I tell you he always prophesies bad against me? But guess what? What happened? They took Micaiah and put him in prison. You thought the prophet of God get thrown in prison? Sure did.
Yeah.
Because he stuck with the word. He wasn't going to compromise. They threw him in prison and he said, feed him with bread. Ahab said, feed him with bread and water affliction until I get back. Micaiah, knowing the word of the Lord, he said, if you come back at all, I'm a false prophet.
Amen.
How many times did Brother Bram do that? How many Brother Bram said, if this doesn't happen, I'm a false prophet?
Yeah.
How many false prophets you see put that to the test? They won't. Because they know they're bluffing.
Right.
They know they only have so much that they can do. Because they have gifts of God. I believe that with all my heart. I believe they can do even miraculous things. But there's always a slight error.
Yeah.
And their whole goal is to hide that.
Yeah.
So you don't see that. But how do they captivate the people? Through fear.
Yeah.
Sure.
Through manipulation. Through, if you don't do what I say, you will die.
Right.
And back in that time, it would have been natural death. But now, it's spiritual death.
That's right.
Say, if you don't follow me, you don't follow my revelation, you're dead. Tell me where Brother Bram said that. He said it's the Word. And if you don't follow the Word, you're dead. If you don't follow Jesus Christ, you're dead, because He's the only source of life.
Amen.
That's how you find a true prophet of God versus a false prophet of God.
Amen.
That's how you find a true preacher of God versus a false preacher of God. If they're trying to point you to themselves, they're off. Any Christian that tries to point you to themselves, like they have some sort of revelation that they got by themselves, you know they're wrong.
Amen.
There's no worrying about it. There's no fighting. There's no stewing about it. You might as well just let it go and move on, because you know it's wrong.
Right.
But if they point you back saying, but the Word says this, the prophet said this, and which I believe to be the Word of the Lord. That's what comes to a prophet.
Amen.
What should our faith rest in? That Jesus Christ truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what He did back when He was on earth is the same thing He's doing right now. That's why I'm so convinced of this message.
Yeah.
I'm sold out. I'm sorry. Show me another man. Produce it. Show me anywhere. Anywhere. Let's stack 100 of them together. Show me where they can do what this prophet did. Over and over and over again. Oh yeah, they'll go and they'll find that. Oh, we found a prayer card that said this. And it had their illness on it. Well, that's funny, because they were holding their prayer card. I wonder how Brother Branham saw what was on it.
Right.
And there's all kinds of those stories going around now. And every time I see one, I go, look, if you don't believe the message, just move on. You know, what's so hard about this?
Right.
But it proves what they're made out of. Janus and Jambres, you think they would have just said, you know what, forget this, Moses. We'll just do something else. But they withstood him.
Uh-huh.
Because they were the magicians. They were the ones that did the supernatural. They didn't want to share it with nobody.
Right.
So when they saw this Moses doing it, they rebelled against it and said, no, no, no.
Right.
We're going to do this. But look what happened. Their folly was manifested.
Amen.
And we were watching folly manifest on left and right, because people won't just stick with God's Word. This is where He dwells. This is His characteristics. He is the truth, the life, the way. He's not part of the truth. He's not part of life. He's not part of the way. He is all of it.
Amen.
And that must not be up there. It must indwell you. Yeah. And you must become it.
Sure.
That's the message of the hour. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Let me read this one quote real quick. Listen closely, please. Give me just another minute or two. It's got to be inspired to you. The Holy Spirit has to bring it and make it manifest to you. That's what's the matter today. You can't get up at the altar and say, well, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No. But brother, sister, when the Holy Ghost has inspired that word to you, you'll get it before you leave your seat. Something in you burnt up. Preacher won't have to tell you to do this and do that. The old leaves will just plop off and the new leaves will come on. It's inspired to you. You won't get angry with the preacher when he preaches truth from the Bible. You'll love it. Reach for it. It's food for your soul. Let's bow our heads together. Now, are you in need today? Are you looking for that inspiration? Look, I can't give it to you. And neither can you, but you can ask God. What desires do you have? Are you physically ailed, but you just can't seem to find the inspiration of healing? Well, ask Him for it. He'll inspire that word. You know He's a healer. We all know that. We know He's a Savior. Do you have loved ones that we just prayed for one, but are there others that you know that need salvation? And you're just looking for that inspiration. Well, you need to act upon it. You need to keep saying the word, keep believing the word, and God will inspire it. And you'll know without a shadow of a doubt that it's the truth nonetheless. there's something in you that you feed off something else more than the Word. You know that's wrong. Let Him inspire and get that thing out of your heart. You can't deliver yourself, but He can. As we reverence His presence, look, it's not me I'm asking you to talk to. I'm asking you to talk to Him now. I'm asking you to be sincere. Because if you're not deadly sincere, you might as well stop, because you will get nothing. But if you'll be deadly sincere, if you'll pour out your heart to God, God will pour out His heart to you. And you'll have anything you want. If you don't have the Holy Ghost right now, don't leave this service without it. Let Him inspire that Word to you, that you can receive it right now. And you will. He's all over this place. But is He in your heart? Just let Him speak. You listen to His voice now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray together. You pray with all your heart now. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this time to be in Your Word and to hear You express Yourself to us, Lord, that You are the same God. We don't have to guess who You are, but Lord, we can see Your characteristics flowing, Lord, as every time we bring sickness before Your throne, Lord, there's healing there to provide. Lord, every time we need salvation, Lord, You gave it to us. Lord, and I pray for this group of people here. Lord, we've preached the Word, but it takes the Spirit to anoint that Word to every heart. And may it just pinpoint right into the needs of the people. Lord, I'm just a man. I don't know what to do but to say what You've already said. Lord, You move upon the Word. Move upon each heart. May they have perfect faith in what You've said, that it can't alter, it can't fail. But Jesus Christ, You are the same right now as when You walk the shores of Galilee. And we come bringing our needs to You, Lord. Mold us, make us, Lord. Make us be like You in everything we do. That when we walk this world, we wouldn't be hypocrites, but Lord, we'd let the life of God flow through us. When the world's busy doing things of the world, when they're out there on Black Friday killing one another over something they don't even need, Lord, may we be the witness that stands and says that that's not right. You don't need that. You need Christ. Lord, we want to be thankful in this time, as we should be at all times, but especially when we specifically set aside time to do that. Lord, let us do it with all our hearts. And thank You, Lord, for healing us and saving us and loving us and providing for us, Lord. We praise You and thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, even as we put our requests on Your throne, we know that You're moving upon it as we speak it. Lord, let the people not be afraid to speak the Word, but may they move forward. May they speak and go forward. As each one has been given power from on high, fill each one anew with Your inspiration. Fill each one anew with Your power and Your love and Your joy. May they walk a better Christian today than they were before we came. Lord, I raise my hands to You, Lord. Mold me. Make me like You. Forgive me, Lord, for looking astray at other things and getting sidetracked off the Word of God and worrying about this world that's soon to perish. Lord, let us put our whole investment in the world that is to come. Lord, I know many things were said that were sharp and cutting, but may the people know that it's only because You love them that You're trying to get all the world out of us, Lord, that we can perfectly reflect You. Because the only thing we can take with us, Lord, is You. It's our character that's been built in Christ. Help us, Lord, to put all our efforts into that. Lord, I pray for the family. I pray that it wouldn't just be mama praying, it wouldn't just be daddy praying, it wouldn't just be the kids praying, it'd be the family praying. I pray it wouldn't just be mama reading the Bible, but Lord, daddy be reading the Bible. Lord, when people come over, they feel the presence of the Lord in the house because Your angels encamp around about them that fear You, Lord. May it be each one. Give the full sincerity, Lord, that we know is within us, Lord. Let us stop being hypocritical with it and not being as sincere in our prayer life and even in our offerings, as we spoke earlier, and in our studying of the Word, Lord. But may we just fall so deep in love with You, Lord, that it's just everything to us. Lord, that we don't have to force ourselves, Lord, but it's just what we are. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to kick Sodom back out the door. Lord, may we just have a house cleaner from top to bottom, Lord, from front to back. In our houses, Lord, if there's something wrong that's hindering our walk with You, I pray, Lord, that You would convict us and drive it out of our lives. Help us, Lord, we pray. We commit ourselves to You. Thank You, Lord, for speaking. Lord, just change us now and mold us and make us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and believe it. Amen. Let's sing that together now. Thank You, Lord Jesus.
And make me more like Thee.
Believe it now. He'll do that for you. Sing with all your heart now. Sing it in faith.
Make me more like Thee. And make me
more like Thee. Lord God. Let that presence fill every fiber of your being. Worship Him with all your heart now.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord.
Oh, don't worry about lunch. Don't worry about your neighbor. Just worship Him.
Jesus be the Lord of all.
Just be sincere now.
Kingdoms of my heart.
Jesus, I surrender all. Let's sing it now.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender.
Oh, that sounds so good. Sing it again. Sing it again. Believe it now. We surrender all.
Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of
Jesus be the Lord of all. One more time with all your heart.
When Jesus be the Lord of all, Jesus be the Lord of all, Jesus be the Lord of all, the kingdoms of my heart. And 'cause He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all our fear is gone.
Is all your fear gone today? Hallelujah.
Because I know.
Just because you live, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, isn't He worthy? Aren't you glad He lives? Hallelujah, Lord.
And because He lives.
Oh, just love on Him. Just bask in His presence. Thank you, Lord. Change us, Father. Live in our hearts, Lord. Mold us into your image. Grant it to each one.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because. Face tomorrow.